Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Hour number two of the Stephen A. Smith Show coming at you, courtesy SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Being here, as I love to do every weekday, from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, the show re-airs from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it's me, 1 to 3. Mad Dog comes on from 3 to 6. And then after that, I re-air from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every weekday. So you get a double dose of your boy Stephen A., which means you'll be getting a double dose of anybody that I bring on, which is a pleasure for me to bring on my next guest because she is simply one of the best in the business. She's been hosting the 6 o'clock Sports Center for years. She hosts her own podcast as well. She is simply one of the best in the business, knows her sports backwards and forwards, has strong opinions, has hustled me on First Take quite too often, I might add. Ladies and gentlemen. Just beat up on me, you know what I'm saying? But I love her to death. My girl, the one and only Elle Duncan of ESPN. How are you, Elle? What's going on?
I seriously doubt that. If I walk out of a debate with Stephen A. feeling like I didn't get absolutely owned, that is a win for me, sir.
That is not true. That is not true. But we're going to stick with that lie. We're going to stick with that right. lie for the moment, okay? We'll do that. Listen, I want you to tell me because, first of all, first things first, Vibe Check. That's your own podcast, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. It's a show. It's actually not even my own. It's all the women at ESPN that contribute. And it's a show that's 3 days a week on Wednesday, Fridays at 5 o'clock. So it's everybody.
Okay. So why have I not been invited yet? How come I have not had an invitation with the ladies? How come the ladies haven't invited me? I mean, I'm supposed to be your boy. That's why I'm supposed to be y'all boy. What's up with that?
Well, it's tough because it's not like you don't have 1 million jobs, essay. So you're a little booked and busy, but we would love for you on the show and have you come christen and bless on the show.
Anytime. I brought you on because I know you're hosting the upcoming ESPNW Women's in Sports Summit. First of all, when does it take place? And tell my audience about it.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow, actually. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from here in Ojai, California, which is crunchy and vanilla and filled with lavender fields in the best possible way. It's so Cali. Everything here is vegan. A girl just wants like a pork sandwich. That's not what they do here. But it's an amazing event, SA, because it's a summit where we celebrate all of the strides that we've made over the last in sports. We strategize. We have incredible conversations. I'm talking with the award-winning actor Banks, who is a new owner for the NWSL Boston team. We've got Alona Mar that's coming. But I think more importantly, really cool space for women to sort of like let their hair down a little bit. You know, working in sports, we've made so many strides. It's still a bit male dominated. So to see all of these women from executives to creators, to see them all come together, like twerk at the party and strategize about the next year and talk about sort of like it's really special and I think one of my favorite events. I know one of my favorite events.
How long has it been going on?
Oh man, 15 years now. Wow. And it's grown exponentially. You know, it started out as like the little summit that could, and now it's become the premier event for ESPNW.
If there's something that has stood out in the world of sports that you feel has helped the summit, its cause, y'all cause, what would that be?
The women right now and how the business has moved. Like I remember SA coming to this event 6-7 years ago and like, you know, be courageous, invest in women. It's the right thing to do. Like it was always about leaning on people's morality. But now that we've seen women's sports completely explode, of course, being led by women's basketball, it's become much more of like, okay, how do we strategize and take advantage of it's been cool to sort of see how the messaging has changed where it is a celebration and all of those things, but it's no longer like trying to convince people of why they should invest in women. It's much more of like, okay, you've got money, here's where you should put it. And that's been really cool to witness.
What do you believe? Because you would know covering sports as fabulously as you do every day, all day for ESPN. I love you to death. I got to ask you, what do you think has really helped the woman's cause when it comes to the world of sports and making sure a more prolific voice is emanating to the masses out there? What do you think has stood out that has been of assistance to y'all over these last 15 years, more so than most anything else?
Well, I think it's been, you know, like college women's sports has always been really popular, and it's even more popular now. But the issue for women was that there was this disconnection. Like once these leave college, it's as if they just disappeared into the ether and people forgot that they go to a pro level. So I think the thing that's been helpful is NIL has been incredibly helpful in this space. These women being able to, at 18, 19, and 20 years old, brand themselves and become these huge household names as they are college students has really helped follow and track that journey into the pros. And of course, like when you talk about some of the change makers, you know, the women's soccer, national soccer team really led that charge years ago with how they negotiated the NBA, with asking for equal pay and equal prize money and all of that. But when it comes to sort of, I think the mainstream perforation, if you will, of what's made women explode is that in and of itself is just this, like, these women are household names so young now. And a lot of that is the Angel and the Caitlin Clarks and the Paige Beckers of the world, which has helped sort of that idea of the rising tide lifting. So I think like connection and connectivity early on, we have the youngest demo, you know, like women's sports has the demo, and that's always the white whale in sales. You know, this part like intimately, Stephen A, you know how important money is to the cause. And so I think like marketing firms now and like these major companies going, get these women when they're young and watch their audience grow with them has been instrumental in the change.
Well, one of the things that I pointed out religiously, Elle, is that I think that, first of all, that these are marvelously talented young ladies. But the number one gift I think the young ladies have proven they have is that they're trustworthy. You don't have to worry about the young ladies from a marketing standpoint the way you have to worry about some of the dudes and some of the issues that we find ourselves in, you know. And yeah. So when I look at when I look at whether it's in basketball or other sports, a lot of times you see young ladies out there thrown to the wolves per se and being asked to be more mature, more grown, etc., than normal people should, but they handle it exceptionally well. And I think that, to me, that's the biggest thing that they have shown. However, I remember when we debated about this, and I was debating about it with Shanae and everybody last year when I was talking about Caitlin Clark. I was like, you know me, I was like, follow the money, because, you know, I'm following the money.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the Caitlin Clark coming in, and I'm going like, wait a minute now. She ain't the best player in the WNBA. We understand that. But she's a cash cow. Ride that boat, because guess what? Mm-hmm. Everybody would stand to benefit from it. There were people who seemed a bit resistant to that. Where were you when all of that was going on? And how did you feel about, not everyone, not most, but there were some who were resistant to it? What were the kind of things that you were saying amongst yourselves when you had these discussions as ladies?
I think there is nothing wrong, Stephen A, with exceptionalizing women. We exceptionalize men. We say that the face of the NBA is LeBron James. That's okay. It doesn't mean that, like, nobody else matters or is important or their journeys are important. And so I think two things can be true at once. You're right. Maybe the most important figure in the W is Caitlin Clark. The best player in the W is by far Asia Wilson. The problem for me, and I think the problem for some critics from people who have exceptionalized Caitlin Clark specifically, is that a lot of the exceptionalizing is Caitlin Clark is so important to the growth and change of the W. True. And then it's the follow. But all of these other bitches ain't nothing. It's like, you know, it's that part of it where it's like, it's the compliment and then the denigration of everybody else and trying to compliment Caitlin. And that's where I have an issue. Like, it is okay to say and to put her cover of Time Magazine. It's well-deserved and well-earned. And honestly, the ratings and all of those things are proof. We're not arguing or debating that. For me, the issue comes, and I think for some of the players in the league, comes from people going, I'm only watching Caitlin Clark and none of you are anything without her. That is where I think a lot of the animus, tension really has lived in this idea that if you're a Caitlin Clark fan, you have to hate one else, or you have to hate her perceived enemy, or you have to somehow put down the rest of the league and praise her. And there is, that's like my issue wholly, but I think it's 100% true. She has been such a driver, and she has been exceptional and transformative, period. Leave it there, because it's true.
And see, and the reason why I wouldn't is because I'd use an L Duncan as an example. like a lot of ladies, you're strong enough, intelligent enough, articulate enough to decipher the difference between somebody who's actually doing that and somebody mm-hmm. who's making a point, rise and tide lifts all boats, rise that boat.
Right.
You have other people right. who hear it, and because their sensitivities are heightened, they don't hear the other part. They hear the part that they want to hear, which is where an L. Duncan comes in, because an L. Duncan is speaking to the masses. She's speaking to millions of people a day, and she's letting them know, I get your point. Here's what to be sensitive about, what not to be sensitive about. How challenging has that been for you amongst your own gender to be that voice, to be somebody out there that, because I've seen you do it, where you'd go before women and be like, hold on now. And wait a minute now. Now we're going a little bit too far. That's not what this person said or meant. No, you're taking it differently than what it was meant to take. How challenging has that been for you as your career has ascended?
I mean, Stephen A, your opinion. And so in general, it is difficult to navigate being opinionated. Always have an issue with something that you say. And I also think that people don't exactly live in the gray area of nuance. Like, that is missing in our country, in our dialogue, in the way that we talk to each other. But I have always stood like 10 toes down on the idea that I try to be as researched as possible. I try not to speak in glittering generalities. And this is my opinion. And I think that, like, if you're not pissing off one faction of the population, then you're probably not doing it right, you know? And like, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, you know, if I praise Caitlin Clark, a function of the population being like, well, you're anti-Black women, which is a joke. I'm okay with saying Angel Reese is a superstar, and maybe her basketball continue to grow, get better, but like, she is a superstar and one of the greatest market pieces that the W has had maybe ever.
Absolutely.
Without picking off Caitlin Clark, like, everybody has an opinion. It's an incredibly volatile discourse right now in the W. I'm hoping that it's going to get better as we sort of get our sea legs under us and figure out how to navigate all of this and all this increased attention, some of it from bad faith characters, some of it from good faith characters. But I think mm-hmm. like, for most women, it can be incredibly scary, Stephen A, to stand on it because people want to do anything they can to minimize its impact. You didn't do to sit across from you and Dan Orlovsky and Cam Newton and talk football. You don't think that was scary for never taking a snap in her life because of the
you
gender?
Never,
that she,
you never looked scared. You never looked scared at all. We were scared of you. We were scared of you. Let's get that out the way.
But I was well researched, and like, that power is being incredibly researched, so that the sort of like understanding and knowledge and experience, where I don't have that in, have the research on my side. The idea, sports fan essay. I love sports. I've loved it my whole life. I consume a ton of sports, and so like, please know that even if you don't agree with me, it is a well versed one and comes from my experience in this space.
How hard is it for you to host when you have such a passion? I can attest to your breadth of knowledge. I've worked with you for years. I know how knowledgeable you are. I know how researched you are. I know how big time you are. You're the real deal.
Thank you.
I would say it's gotta be a challenge once you sat in a debate chair to then go back to host. What was that like for you? You know, because you did it in the same day. Like, you didn't realize you were coming on First Take. You were debating in the morning. You was hosting 6 o'clock Sports Center that night. You know, obviously I've done the same thing, but I'm asking, what was that like for you?
Well, I think it's about picking your moments. And the beautiful thing about doing First Take with you and having that opportunity for me is that is an opportunity where I am on that stage. I am on that set specifically for my opinions, which is incredible. When I'm on SportsCenter, though, that's not why I'm there. We literally have experts on, right? Like, that is, so it's about picking your moments. And so I would be able to empty the chamber on everything that I felt personally about sports and get my opinion out on First Take. Then I go do 6 o'clock SportsCenter, and my only goal is to be a point guard, not a score first point guard. All
but
I'm there to do is dish.
That's what I'm asking. I'm asking, what's it like? What was it like for you from the standpoint of wanting to do it? Like, you could get in that debate chair and be like, this, wait a minute now, I like in my opinion. Or you could go back to sports and say, I don't need that heat. I don't mind being the point guard for the experts.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
I think it's a wonderful thing. Like, I feel like I do enough television that you hear me enough. Like, if you want to know my opinion on the Broncos or want to know my opinion on Deshaun Watson or what the Browns should be doing or on Daniel Jones, you can see me on First Take or on any of these other platforms right. that allow for that. But also, if you just want to see me crack like dad jokes and set up Chiné and Andrea to be the superstars that they are, like, you can see that too. So for me, like, I think sometimes people get on TV and they're like, I have got to empty the chamber, like, this is my opportunity to show everybody my whole breadth of knowledge. And that's okay, but I don't need to do that because I have enough opportunities to do that. So when you see me on SportsCenter, it's about scoring first. When you see me on debate, it's obviously about debating and going back and forth. It's just different muscles. And like, you can't show, right? Sometimes you got leg day. Stephen A., you work out. Sometimes it's leg day. Sometimes it's arm day. When you're in the gym doing leg day, are you concerned that everybody's going to think that you're weak because you're not lifting weights with your arms too? No, like that's just... That's what it's called for that particular day, and I'm okay with that.
You know, I got to confess to you, one of the greatest things that I love to watch in sports television is you with Chiné Ogumike and Andrea Carter on the air at the same time. I mean, I love you, but I love them to death.
I love
too.
Them. They're superstars.
They are superstars. They just yes. are. Y'all are the A-team. Y'all are something special to behold. What has it been like working with those two?
Well, you know this, Stephen A., because you've worked with people your whole entire career. And sometimes you have a really great working relationship. And like when you get off air, maybe you guys aren't particularly close. Maybe you have a really great personal relationship with someone, but then on air, like it doesn't exactly jive. Right. This is the rare combination where we are actual like sisters. Like we talk every day, whether we're on TV together or not. We actively root for each other. I was coming into the women's college basketball and then the WNBA space, which was, you know, in large part foreign to me. I was a fan, but how you cover things is very differently than how you watch them. And you know that.
Right.
And so they wrapped their arms around me and like helped me in a way that I can never, ever, ever repay. And it has been so rewarding to sit on a desk with people who, you know, actively root for you, want you to win. Everyone wants everyone to win. And it's just been, it's really special because I marvel at them. I mean, you guys, like,
they're
as
great.
Good as they are on air, they're
phenomenal.
Better people off air. They're just phenomenal. Right. They're so,
I do have a problem with Andrea,
so
though. I do have a problem with Andrea, though. The girl got snakes. She got snakes. She's a snake lover. Something wrong with her. Something wrong with her about that.
Correct.
She actually invited me over. She said, Stephen, you need to come over and see my snakes. I like, never. Snakes?
Yes, yeah,
snakes in
yeah.
the house. I like, 100%. No.
Yeah, she is. Andrea Carter is the most interesting woman in the world. She has a snake.
Lord.
His name is Nothing. When she gets hungry, do you know where her snack is? This is gonna gross you out. She just eats gum. Like, she just eats it. Like, when she wants a snack and there's no food around, she will take a piece of gum, she'll chew it up, and then she'll just, like, swallow it as if it was, like, an apple. I promise you, this woman is crazy. She can box. She can do, like, I've never met anybody quite like Andrea Carter. I've known her for years, and every time I talk to her, I discover something new about her.
I just
the gum
think
thing
she's
is serial killer.
Listen, right. You better not mess
serial
with that girl.
Behavior.
She hurt somebody.
Yeah.
She hurt somebody. Yeah. Make no sense. But I love her to death, and she's a phenomenal basketball analyst. Listen, Elle, before I let you get on out of here, I'd be remiss in neglecting to bring up the impending WNBA negotiations. We saw them during All-Star Weekend, and they're talking about pay us what you owe us or whatever. My position was, listen, you can make that argument. I support you. I want you to get your money. I want you to get your bag. The WNBA has grown. Other people going to make arguments. WNBA been losing money, blah, blah, blah. Hell with that. Women deserve their money. My only issue is it is a negotiation. You understand? Nobody gets everything they want. You and I both know through experience how you handle stuff during a negotiation, sometimes influence negotiations. How have you felt about what their position has been? What advice would you give them about how to act moving forward for the purposes of the negotiation? And do you plan on bringing any of this up at the ESPNW Sports Summit?
Absolutely. Well, we're definitely going to get into this topic at the summit. But I think, like, you know, I was just with Chiné, actually. We were doing an event at USC. She dropped such a bar that I thought really encapsulated the issue right now between the league and the players as they, you know, deal with the CBA, which is that right now they both want the same thing. They both want no stoppage in play, and they both want the continued viewership and growth of the league to happen. But right now, they are not speaking the same language. And I know, Adam Silver said a few weeks ago he felt like it was getting a little bit too personal with Fee's comments. And I would venture to say that if it has gotten to this point, right, with leadership on that board that has negotiated a CBA before, if it's gotten to the point where they feel like they need to be public about private conversations and things like that, clearly there is a material communication breakdown.
That's what I said.
Period. Right? Like, clearly they have gotten to a point where they're like, we got no other recourse. Like, this is where we're going to go. And I think that because this is the most important CBA of our lifetime, of their lifetimes, they are going to do absolutely everything they can to get everything that they deem to be a non-negotiable. Now, of course, there's going to be things that, like, it's not a negotiation if you get absolutely everything that they want, and it's not in the league's interest to give them everything that they want, because, I mean, God, could you imagine, like, when you're going through your contract negotiation, if ESPN was like, just tell us everything that you want, that's not a negotiation, right? Like, that's a demand and an acquiesce. But I think that, like, in general, the temperature got very, very high. It's died down some. It is very unlikely we see a deal done by the deadline on October 31st, but that's happened before, and that's okay. We have until May. Nobody wants this thing to go off the rails. Nobody wants a stoppage in play. This idea, SA, that, like, oh, Fee and Brianna, they've got unrivaled, and so, you know, this is a conflict of interest, that's absurd. Like, nobody is saying it's giving these women an option to still make money should there be a work stoppage of some sort. It's giving them an option to not have to go overseas and still be able to make money. But a large part of why that option exists is because they're making $60,000 and $70,000 a year. Like, that's why. So I think, I don't have advice when it comes to negotiating this particular type of deal, but I do work in an industry where every 2 to 3 years you have to show your value and negotiate with the company. And I would say that in general, like, once the temperature reaches a certain level, you then have to find some common ground, because ultimately, like, neither side can bully each other into giving what they want. I have no idea how this is going to play, SA, but I know that for them, and I've asked multiple players, what is your non-negotiable? And it is revenue share. Like, that is some of the other stuff I'm sure they can deal with and whatnot, facilities and things like that.
Basketball related income, revenue share. Absolutely.
That's it. Like, that's their non-negotiable. They want a bigger piece of the pie. They are not saying they want the same piece of the pie that the NBA or the NFL is getting. That's not what they're saying. They just want something that is commensurate to the growth that we've already seen and the projected growth that they will see over the next 5 years.
One of the things I said before I let you go, I talked about Nafisha Collier, and back then I said, if that young lady, who's a fabulous player, by the way, an absolutely fabulous player and high character person, comes out against the commissioner saying what she said, I said, I mean to cast no aspersions on the commissioner. I call for Kathy Engelbert's resignation. I said, if you're saying this kind of stuff and you got a star in the league saying this is how the commissioner of the league feels about these players, and they said so, you can't get around that. That's where I was on that. Did you think I was wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. It's very hard to come back from that. Like, listen, Roger Goodell gets booed everywhere he goes, right? And in general, the commissioners of the leagues tend to be sort of these like villainous sort of figures, but we've never in any of the major sports seen such a rebuke of leadership ever. And so I don't know. And I do want to be clear. That Kathy has also been really instrumental to the growth of the league, capital raising, the investments that she's procured. Like, it's not like she's done nothing, right? Like, she has been a good commissioner. She's been a good commissioner in many ways. However, when the women that you are leading are in solidarity, standing and being this public with how they feel about how you are as a leader, and whether you're the right leader for the future, I just don't know how you come back from that. I have no sources that are telling me she's going to step away. I don't think we'll see anything happen until the CBA is ratified, but I just don't know how you continue to put yourself in that space when you have this idea, whether it's perceived or real, that you are not a great leader for these women. I just don't know how you come back from it. I really, really don't. And I was there, Stephen A., at the finals in Phoenix when Las Vegas won, and just the booing. And again, this is something Roger Goodell is used to, but there is just this a public opinion it's now that level. I'm just not sure. It's next level. It's really, really next level. And I'm not sure how they sort of quell that fire. I don't know.
Host of the ESPNW Women's and Sports Summit, the 16th annual summit coming up. Is there a virtual option here for those who can't attend?
Yes. Absolutely. ESPNW.com. You can go. It's virtual. The whole entire thing is streaming for free. You don't have to RSVP or anything like that. Just go to ESPNW.com. All the information will be on the website, and you can watch us do our thing out here in Ojai.
Love you to death. You know that. I'm always
love you, SA.
All right. We'll talk soon, okay? You take it easy.
Bye.
The one and only Elle Duncan. She is one of the best in the business. I can't even tell y'all. You ain't worked with her during the days like I have. She is serious. She is legit. The real deal. A spectacular talent in our industry. Host of the 6 o'clock Sports Center every weeknight as well. Does a fabulous, fabulous job for us right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Back with your calls and more. The Stephen A. Smith Show. Of course, your voicemails as well. SiriusXM.com/getSirius. You're listening live to The Stephen A. Smith Show. Don't go away. Getting right back to you.